just step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 739. I am Lisa Sheps. I am the luckiest girl in the world because I am joined by my co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You are listening to the two of us on KOOP.org. Nope, that's our website. You're listening to us on KOOP HD1, HD3, Hornsby, and we stream it on KOOP.org.
Step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
Everybody look around.
It is Wednesday, September 27th, 2023. On the show today, we have Austin Playhouse and their show, The Norwegians. And later on, we'll be talking to Zach Theater and The Girl Who Became Legend. And of course, we will have lively discussions of the world of theater in New York, Austin, Chicago, Boston, Minneapolis, and Austin. We'll be right back. Sometimes I just run out of cities in my head.
You say Austin every time.
That's I do. I say Austin every time because you know why?
We're here.
Because we're here in Austin.
That's where we be.
So that is true. Nicole Shiro, welcome back. We got you back and then we lost you and now we've got you back again.
I had a bad
again.
Stomach bug last week.
Yeah.
The tummies was
but you're
not
better
happy.
Now?
Yes, the tummies is very happies again.
that's good. We like...
It's not sad.
We like the tummies.
Yeah.
Well, welcome back. We're happy to have you. I love having you here right by my side.
I love being with you.
And just for you, we're going to revisit a couple of things that we talked about last week, which I knew you would want to be part of.
Okay.
But don't do it yet, because before we do that, I need to introduce the other folks that are here so they can join in the conversation.
Yes, we have some people.
All Offstage and On the Air veterans, I might add, and big time A-list Austin theater folk.
Peeps.
Laura Toner-Haddock, welcome back to the show.
Hello, thanks for having us.
And Lowell Bartholomew.
Hi, everybody.
And Mr. Ben Wolf.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It's so happy to have y'all here with us to talk about theater. And the first, well, before we go on to the list, and I'll use air quotes on that, that was The Wiz, which we've been talking about for a while. But it's set its opening.
We should always talk about The Wiz, to be honest with you.
It looks actually really pretty. The stills from it look really kind of interesting.
It's colorful and exciting. And
back in the day, I would have crinkled paper in front of my microphone so that the peeps could hear it on the radio. But I don't use paper anymore, so I can just hit it with my computer.
Do it.
See if that did it. Anyway, it's going to play at the Marquee Theater. And open on April 17th with preview starting March 29th.
I do love that show.
I do think, I'm going to say this again, I've said it on here before, I think they need to add, because of the way they do things with critics now on Broadway, I really think they should have previews start on this date.
Oh, you're telling them to
change the date again.
Frozen date
is this date and opening is this date. Because once the critics start coming, they're not making changes anymore.
No, I know.
I'm just saying.
You tell them, Lisa.
They should listen to me.
You tell them.
Anybody else have an opinion on that?
That they should listen to you?
Yes.
We concur.
No, but you know, but so you know, back in my day, the critics came on. The critics came on.
Get off my lawn!
Get off my lawn! The critics came on opening night, and they went home and wrote all night long and posted their reviews. Now they have a week to write their reviews. Yeah. And I think, and the point of previews is to make changes on the show. And so back in my day, we did 2 weeks of previews. That was normal.
The first Austin Playhouse show we did was Light Up the Sky, which is about the critics waiting for that review the next morning
yes,
to drop.
I must read that. So
you want them to reinstate that policy.
I would love them to reinstate. That's not going to happen.
I know.
But what I would love for them to do is say, this is the preview period, so that when audiences go to see a preview, they know they're seeing a work in progress. But by the time the critics are coming, I you know, they might change something, but I doubt it. So I think they should call it something else. Maybe it should be the Lisa Week.
No, there you go.
Yeah.
And then, I think it's good also to make the critic, like, you have to, like, we just want to hear what you think right now. You
know, they did that. What was the show not all that long ago that did that? They did not allow critics come until opening night.
Oh,
and they were unhappy.
Yeah, they were not. Yeah, they were, get off my lawn!
They were going, I'm going to act like Lisa!
Oh, shoot. That's
I don't
just,
remember either. But it was not. It was
no, it was not that long ago.
It was
ago.
Might just have been just pre-pandemic, maybe. Yeah. Anyway, the things I wanted to revisit from last week for your sake is Starlight Express.
I love me
the
some Starlight
opening
Express.
In England. And I know you love it so much.
There's not a lot of Lord Webber I'm a fan of. The superstar, hands down, Fantastico. But who doesn't like roller skates? I don't care that it's about trains and cars.
I love roller skates.
Loves I'm roller, okay with roller skates, skates and the passerelle that comes out with the roller skates. Listen, I was a teen. It was the 80s. I was in England. They were skating around me. I was excited. And one of the cars was Andrea McArdle, the original Annie. And I thought that was cool. But like the cast, that was like freaking Scott Ellis, man. He was in that original cast rolling around.
There you go.
He's one of the Rockies because there's Rocky 1, Rocky 2, Rocky 3.
And Das Musical.
Yeah, there is Rocky Das Musical too.
This is why I wanted you here last week because I knew you could take a thing that I knew little or cared little about and blow it up into something very interesting.
There's actually two or three songs in there that tear me up that the orchestrations are really fantastic.
And then we also talked about, and I'll find out if anybody else has seen this, has anybody watched Theater Camp yet?
And the movie.
I watched it the second time the movie. A couple days ago, actually.
The second time? Oh, good for you. How was it the second time?
Just as funny.
Just as funny.
I was showing it to somebody else so you also get to like...
Well, right.
That's my jam. Them.
Did you see it, Nicole?
I did not see it.
All right, that's your homework for next week.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about it then. And we talked about it last week.
Okay.
I thought it was very fun. So anyway, what I didn't say about The Wiz is Shell Williams is directing it. Choreography by Jekyll Knight. An additional material, and I find this interesting, by Amber Ruffin.
I was about to say, did you see that the Amber Ruffin was giving additional material?
I don't know what that means.
I went over that, and then I stopped, and I was like, wait, what's Amber Ruffin doing? And I went back up, and I was like, additional material.
Yeah. What do you suppose that means?
I don't know. The plot thickens.
The plot
get it?
Does
no pun
thicken.
Intended.
Modernizing it a little bit, maybe?
Probably.
Maybe.
Or...
Beat out some 70s jokes, replace them with...
Probably.
2000s jokes.
Well, so there's a very interesting article in the newspaper of record about Tiananmen. We've talked about Tiananmen several times here, and everybody, to refresh everybody's memory, this is a show that will be premiering at the Phoenix Theater Company next month. It's and this is about the Tiananmen Square massacre, which, of course, is a student uprising in China where several students were killed, in theory, by the government of China. It was announced that Zachary Noah Pizer would be playing the lead role, and the very next day he Instagrammed out a very cryptic,
vague,
no, I'm not in it, and that was basically it. And everybody's kind of been speculating about it since then, and one of the things that is, he's now touring a concert throughout China, and the government of China still refuses to talk about or recognize the things that happened at Tiananmen Square. And so a lot of people are thinking...
If you were raised in China now, you don't even know it existed.
Right. So it's interesting. So a lot of people, like the original director and at least one other cast member dropped out for fear because they had family still in China. And evidently there's threats of reprisals from them.
I was about to say, I think there was up to like 6 or 7 people that have gone... Yep. Away from the project?
So this is a quote from Kennedy Kanagawa, who replaced Pizer. He said, even doing a regional production in Phoenix, Arizona, there is so much concern over the control and reach of the Chinese government that American actors are afraid to be involved in the show. Darren Lee, who is the director and choreographer, he's Chinese American. Oh, by the way, Kanagawa is Japanese descent, not Chinese descent. So they're making sure that most, if not all, of the people involved in the show have no family back in China because they're worried about reprisals. So the director, Darren Lee, did not have any direct relatives that might face retaliation. And I just find this so heartbreaking that in our modern times that we have to worry about, I mean, really worry about what we're saying so that we don't make a foreign power like China mad. You can, if you talk about Tiananmen Square in China, you can face jail time.
Yes, you can.
Or your children might be prohibited from going to university.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's simple just by talking about it. It's just really interesting. There is a article in the New York Times that you can get at offstageonair.com when I post the show, and you can see there's a, they talk a lot about this. And I found this very interesting. They don't explicitly say that he dropped out because of fear of reprisals or fear for his own life, but that is the speculation.
Oh, I mean, I thought it before he posted anything.
Well,
when he was like the seventh person, I'm like, boy, every time they announce something new, this person added to the show or this person creative, someone drops out, and it's not even who they announced. It's just it's
his agent flat out denies that's the reason. But
well, that's,
I mean,
what
he
an
has
agent
to.
Should it, do
exactly.
Yeah.
So what's interesting? The Phoenix Theater Company and Quixote Productions that are putting this on together. They have, and this is a quote from the article, which I should tell you is written by, and now I'm losing my place, is written by Christopher Kuo. And now let me see if I can find my place again. They say...
That was pretty impressive.
The Phoenix Theater Company and Quixote Productions have a history of staging politically relevant productions, presenting a musical in 2020 called Americano about a young man who discovers he is an undocumented immigrant. But Tiananmen, which was shaped by Weir Kai, I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that, one of the real student protesters in Beijing, has produced a special set of challenges even for them. So I just find, I find this interesting, and this is where we talk about how important theater is and how important the messages that we're presenting have real impact, positive and negative.
That would be called artivism.
It would be called artivism. Mm,
that
which,
would fall into that category.
Which is, I should tell you, Nicole Shiro, tangential to this, but I was speaking to a theater class at UT yesterday, and I mentioned Nicole Shiro and artivism.
It's my jam.
Yeah, I'm giving you credit for it.
Thank you.
Did you hear how production assistants are going to unionize with Equity?
I did hear that. You know what's funny is it was one... I mean, I knew it isn't because... But it was something that came up a while ago that I was all like, wait, why are production assistants in that whole world?
Well, I will tell you.
Someone else thought like me?
No, because that's where I got my start. In commercial theater on Broadway, I started as a production assistant. And a production assistant is an assistant stage manager without the title.
It's basically what it is. I'm surprised that, wouldn't you say probably? I'd say like 70% of stage managers were production assistants.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe even 80.
Yeah.
Again, this is a...
Or company
survey
managers.
In my head, but yeah. I'm thinking so.
So I, you know, I as we've talked about the litany of performer types that are kind of latching on to Equity as a representation, I've sort of been on the fence about like strippers joining Equity or other things that would be more apropos for
that was in the entertainer
AFTA. AFTRA. Yeah, the more apropos to AFTRA. But this one, I think, falls squarely
in Equity.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. They're trying to voluntarily get the Broadway League to...
say, we'll do it.
To acknowledge them. But I find it interesting that I have a feeling they're going to say no.
You got a feeling.
I got a feeling. how does anybody else feel about the whole unionization of PAs?
For it.
Yeah,
for it.
All
for it.
Absolutely.
All the way for it. Okay.
Yeah. Well, especially since the WGA just found out that, it turns out the studios did have money after all.
Surprise.
Weirdly enough.
Surprise, surprise. But that's, we should say tangential to theater, and that's the third time I've used the word tangential. WGA has come to an agreement. It just needs to be ratified by their membership. So now we just need to get... we need to get some love for the actors, and then we can go back to watching TV.
No!
Which is all I care
yes,
about.
Yes, I think the late shows already announced their schedule returns.
Yeah, well,
stuff.
They'll come back right away.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, because they write that on
I'm giving you that update that I saw.
Oh, that's good. So did you hear about this crazy trip from this woman who is understudying Jasmine? So as you know, her name is Michaela Renfro. Mm-hmm. She's to play jazz. She was not supposed to play. She's like a cover to a cover to a cover, a cover to a swings uncle.
Yeah.
And
a cover to a swings uncle.
They found themselves in a position where they lost the Jasmine performer, the understudy, and the swings, and they had nobody. And so they had this person, she was on an airplane flying back from, where was she?
I think it was overseas.
Overseas, I believe it was London.
But she was on an airplane over the ocean.
She was scheduled to arrive at JFK at 5 p.m. Curtain is at 7 p.m.
Yes.
So for those of you that know New York and international travel.
And 5 p.m.
And 5 p.m.
And rush hour.
That just seems like an impossible thing to do. So I found this interesting. She was traveling with her boyfriend. Her boyfriend seemed to be like the knight in shining armor here. He said, hey, let's just talk to the airplane people and see if we can at least get you to be the first person off the plane. Mm-hmm. So they did that, and the pilots came out, and they moved her up to a first-class seat right by the door so she could jump right out. In the meantime, her boyfriend had to stay back and coach. So that was that. Then they called ahead and they got her somehow expedited through customs. Then they went, and then I did not know this existed. There's a name for this, I have to tell you. Blade. Has anybody ever heard of the company called Blade?
Is that the luggage people?
It's a helicopter, but it's not a. For those of you not watching on the live stream, Laura was.
Doing
was rotating both of her hands instead of just one hand for a helicopter.
I don't think there's any other way to say helicopters.
It's Uber for helicopters. Mm-hmm. Wow. Oh. So they can Uber a helicopter. And so, all right. So when I heard this on the radio long before I read this article, and they said that she helicoptered from JFK to the heliport on the west side. And I said, oh my God, that had to cost a couple $1,000s.
No, it doesn't.
Guess how much?
I think it's like $179 or $150. Oh, wow. Yeah,
I would do that.
Yeah, because it's $149 from Newark. Just FYI, I see it in the C terminal at United all the time.
Oh my gosh, I would do that. That's what an Uber would cost on rush hour.
An Uber, that's also like a black car service, an Uber, a sedan, like anything, a yellow cab, no matter what. Like,
yep. Anyway, I just found that. I'm sorry. I'm so behind the times. Here's a quote from this article, which I'm pulling from Playbill, written by Tallulah Harms September. What a great name. Tallulah Harms September. And now my... So it says here, when the plane landed, the Delta staff rushed Renfro to the front of the customs line, got her through into a car, which they took her to Blade. This is another little piece of it that's funny. She was 1 minute late, but they called ahead and the helicopter waited. She landed at Hudson Yards in 7 minutes and ran from 12th Avenue to 7th Avenue to the number one train. So you ask yourself, why would you take a train when you're going to, why? Couldn't get a cab.
Yeah, I was like, it's 5 p.m. You can't get a cab. And there's not as many cabs now in the whole Uber Lyft world.
Now, so the question is, so we're going to assume that she got there in time to do the show. Did she get there on time? Like to the normal time a cast member
like how
gets
Fiddler
there.
Has to be there because they can't go past that time.
Well, no, that's actually running time. But I'm, you know, just we all have like, a call time. We have to be at the theater. Mm-hmm. Yes, she made it. She was there a half hour before curtain. Amazing. All right, we just used up all of our time on that, but I think that was a fun story. We need a Blade here. I go to Georgetown 5 times a week.
I had an hour once I landed in Newark to make it to curtain for Hadestown, and I made it. Yeah.
Did you do the Blade?
I did not. Oh. And I even got my luggage in the hotel and ran right out the door.
You were going to be...
I sat down with my friend Scott Raff and the music started and I was like, whoa.
You were going to be my hero, not that you aren't already. Did you hear that there's going to be a Paris production of Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum?
Oh, Paris.
And it is starring Richard Kind, who I think is a... perfect choice for that.
Pretty funny, right?
For Pseudolus. If you don't know what he looks like, that's what he looks like. I just put the picture up at the microphone.
They're putting the funnies back on. Like the Spamalot is coming back.
Spamalot, and there's
an
interesting
story.
Did you
see who they cast as Lancelot?
Yes, temporarily to open it. Yeah. But Taron Killam is opening it, and then Alex... What's his name?
Oh my God, I can't think of his name right now because you just said Alex.
Rock and roll, School of Rock and Roll, School of Rock.
I know.
Brightman.
Thank you. I was like, because the Legend of the Rent is real hardcore.
Yeah. So anyway, let's go away so we can make sure we have plenty of time to talk to our guests. And we're going to listen to, of course, Comedy Tonight, a little Zero Mostel from
Zero.
A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. We'll be right back.
That's a good choice.
Something familiar, something...
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole. We've had such a fun conversation this past... I wanted to just keep going.
We like to chit-chat.
Yep. And so now let's jump right into our first main
chit-chat.
Stage guest here on Offstage and On the Air. Oh, my gosh. Well, okay. And we have here the director.
My dog got me up early this morning with puppy zoomies. So I'm like, woohoo! You could thank Dolly Parton.
Puppy.
That is her dog's name.
Puppy zoomies was my sorority name.
Puppy zoomies.
We have the folks from Austin Playhouse. We have Laura Toner Haddock. Welcome back, Laura.
Thank you.
And you are also the director of The Norwegians.
Yes.
And then I believe we have, and I'm just guessing here, we have two of the Norwegians.
We have The Norwegians.
I didn't know how many Norwegians there
were.
Well,
yeah.
Lowell Bartholomew.
Hello.
And Ben Wolf.
Hey there.
Hey, yeah. You got to be very careful with all the cars around here. You go. So, Laura, tell me about The Norwegians. This is a reboot for Austin Playhouse, isn't it?
It is. No, it's a reboot.
Gritty reboot.
All right, y'all.
When did we lose control of the room?
Did you ever have it?
Never.
So The Norwegians is a play by C. Denby Swanson, who's one of our fantastic local Austin playwrights. And we did this production in 2015. And then during the pandemic, she was way more productive than anybody else I know and completely reworked the play and made it. It was a two-act version originally. And now it is this... really tight, fantastic one act. Runs about 80 minutes. And so we were pretty delighted to be the first theater to roll out this new
amazing
version.
Did you direct it in its original incarnation?
I did.
Oh, excellent. And were you part of the process of helping her, helping them make the changes to the...
So
to the show?
The script that we originally had when we started working was, I think the first read-through was maybe just under an hour.
Yeah.
It was real short. She had shortened it kind of for possibly a Zoom audience, possibly to be done outside in Minnesota in winter in the middle of the pandemic. So she had made it as efficient as possible. So we did work with Colin. She was in the rehearsal room with us a bit at to add back some of the material from the original.
It'd be so hard to pick what to put back in. Like, that just has to be...
And structurally, it wasn't just putting things back in. She reworked a lot of the structure of the piece. So folks that have seen it before, I think, will recognize the characters and the basic plot. But it's
a whole new thing.
It's a whole new thing.
So give us the nickel tour of the plot. What is the show about?
So you have a couple... ex-Kentuckian and a Texan, and they find themselves in Minnesota, and these are some women scorned. And what you're going to do? you're gonna find some very, very nice gangsters to help you out and maybe get a little revenge on the scornies, scorners. I don't know how that works. Anyway, the men that hurt them. and so we have Olive and Betty meet at a wine bar, and shortly we are also introduced to the Norwegians.
Great. Well, let's hear about the Norwegians. Lowell, tell us about your character.
My character is named Tor, which
of course
I learned on this one is, you know, a version of Thor. didn't put that together. It took a long time to put that one together. And teamed up with, I'm in business partnership with Gus, and we're both Norwegians, although Gus is a little bit of something else.
That is a point of contention.
It comes up quite a bit. This tour is very...
So are we Norwegians actually from Norway, or is that just your heritage?
Minnesota Norwegians.
You're Minnesotans. Okay.
Norwegians. It's on Minnesota.
Okay, now I understand. I wasn't sure
at first. Tor is very strong about him being completely Norwegian, and Gus has, you know...
A little bit of other stuff.
Which helps in the business, and that's also a plot point. So you meet us through one of the characters coming to hire us, and so...
Well, great.
And Lowell is also our video designer on this, which is another change from the original production we did. We have this huge videoscape to introduce you to this world. So if folks arrive early, they get to see all sorts of delightful things.
Lowell Bartholomew in video design, I am going to say that I want to go and see that and get there in time to enjoy that.
Exactly.
Part. There's a pre-show.
there's a pre-show. Of course there is. Ben, who do you play? Tell us about... was it Ike, Ebe,
Gus?
I knew it had three letters.
I've decided his last name is Gustafson. He's Gus Gustafson. he is the other hitman, and he strives to do things the Norwegian way, and tries to please Tor, not always successfully, but the other stuff in Gus helps add to his edge.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun of a show. Is this like a rip roaring comedy or more of a dark comedy?
It's both. It is a
rip-roaring dark comedy.
There is some suggested violence. There is some language in it. It is very funny, but it is a dark comedy. Although we really enjoyed showing it to a wide variety of audiences this weekend.
And they all responded well. So I think we've got something that's working here. So.
Well, that's great.
That's fun.
I understand y'all are going to give us a little taste of this. Is that correct?
We do. And this is from, this is actually the only scene that these two guys have together. And it's from a little later in the play where it's just them. And it turns out Gus may have had a little bit of a history with one of the ladies that we meet. They're discussing that.
Wonderful. This is Lowell Bartholomew and Ben Wolf doing a scene from Austin's Playhouse's production of The Norwegians.
Gus, did you take emotional advantage of Betty for the chance at physical intimacy?
Kind of.
Norwegian High Council will be very displeased.
The who?
The Norwegian High...
Oh, you're making that up.
Oh, you're not on their email list. I wonder why.
I did love Betty. I do. There was just a timing issue. I didn't want to... feel it was too much and inconvenient.
Well, that's the most Norwegian thing you've ever said, Gus. More irony.
No, not irony. Honesty. I had a long-term plan. I just had a short-term need to run around on her.
You weren't ready.
I wasn't ready to be in love.
You weren't ready to be in love with her.
You're right.
I am.
I wasn't ready to be vulnerable again. I wasn't ready for her. You don't know this about me, but I was married before and I got screwed over. My wife had an affair. I found out and I let her stay. And then she was out mowing the lawn and I took her a lemonade and she broke down and said I was too nice. She couldn't take it anymore. Packed her bags and left.
Jeez, Gus, that's rough. Why was your wife the one mowing the lawn?
You'll have to come and find out.
Well, yeah, you're mean. You're a couple of mean guys, and especially you.
We're the really, really nice gangsters. That's how we market ourselves.
It's like the gangsters in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Mm. Yeah.
If they were from Brooklyn.
Minnesota.
Yeah. So, as you mentioned, you opened last weekend, mm-hmm. and everything seemed to be going good. Audiences were enjoying themselves.
Yeah, very happy. Lots of enthusiasm from the audience, even from our 2 o'clock Sunday matinee audience, which skews a little older, and we weren't sure. And they
were
really
responded.
They were ready for it.
Amazing.
They were having a good time.
And this is a four-hander, as we say in the business. Who are the other two hands in this?
So Sarah Fleming Walker plays Betty, and Sarah Zarang plays Olive.
Great. Both veterans of Offstage and On the Air.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, they are.
Betty and Olive, I love that. That was actually a lesbian folk group back in the
70s.
A lot of people don't know that. So is there anybody else that you want to highlight or anything else you want to highlight about the show? It sounds like so much fun.
It is. It has been a blast. Our design team includes some of our regular folks, Robert Fisher on sound, Mark Novick, it's lighting, Glenda Wolf did our costumes, and she was with the original production as well. There's a delightful fantasy sequence in it that is some of my favorite costume
Lunar
work.
Princesses.
Mm-hmm. Lunar princesses. So yeah, and Barry Miller, of course, is our stage manager, yes, carrying everything through.
Yep.
So yeah, we've had a great showing so far. We run through October 15th.
Yeah, great way to open our 24th season, I think.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep. So I think it's amazing. I cannot wait to see it. I'm hoping maybe I can go this weekend before things start kicking up in my own place. I have one more week.
Making it happen. Lisa.
So that's good. So you already told me. So it plays through October 15th, mm-hmm, did you say? Yes. And where do folks go to get more information?
Our website is austinplayhouse.com.
Great. Well, before I let you go, I want to congratulate you for your myriad of Biden Payne nominations.
Oh, thank you. Oh, yes.
And I know you got, I don't have them all memorized, but I know Indecent was way up there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And well deserved. So congratulations for that.
And congrats to you as well.
Yes. Yeah, we did okay.
Yeah,
we did good. We're not unhappy. So,
well, that's a good way to put it.
We are not unhappy. It is funny. Lisa. I will tell a little story. This would normally be in our local section, but I am directing a show up in Georgetown, and we were working on choreography. We have one number that we choreographed, and Lily Persifield is the choreographer, and she was doing the choreographer, and as director, I was just sitting playing on my iPhone, and it was during the nomination party, and I had people, and I was trying to keep up with Facebook, which I don't really do very well. I'm trying to figure out what the nominations are. And Lily got nominated for doing props for something, and I stopped rehearsal, and she was so cute. She was so
melting.
Excited.
That
she had
cute.
No idea that was even a possibility.
Aww.
That's great.
So it's really good, and we're really thankful to the Biden Payne Council for doing all that work.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Well, thank you guys for coming on the show, and I do look forward to seeing the show.
Yay.
That was Laura Toner-Haddock, Lowell Bartholomew, and Ben Wolf of Austin Playhouse, The Norwegians, playing from the 22nd, which is in the past, to the 15th of October. For more information, you may visit austinplayhouse.com. And trying to figure out what I tried lots of different ways to do.
I was wondering
songs.
What you were going
to
play.
Yeah, Bad Guys from Bugsy Malone.
Oh, you know, since, it's not, you know, a bad choice.
Since we have the bad guys here. Malone. Here it is.
Bad guys!
We're the very worst.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Hello. It's Lisa and Nicole.
That was fun. We had a good time with those people from Austin Playhouse. I think our next guests are they have a lot of competition to try to be as good as our previous guests were.
I didn't know, we had guest competitions.
I don't know if they can be as good as our previous guests. I hope they come in with musical instruments. And not regular instruments. I'm thinking a violin and a banjo would be something really good for them to come
They may surprise you like that.
I hope so. So let's just talk a little bit about what's going on locally very quickly. I wanted to just highlight something that's going on at the Vortex. And, of course, my computer isn't on, but it's...
Don't you have it on your paper?
Yes, I was about to say it. Oh. Proyecto Teatro's Orienjes at the Vortex, which has opened already and plays through October 8th. But that's as far as I can get without having the thing open to tell me exactly what it's about. And it is, they're doing it in collaboration with the Vortex, Escándalo, and a whole bunch of other Latinx artists invite you to jump back in time with this comedic and risque time-traveling journey to discover the origins of the Latino world, or at least their version of it.
That sounds fun.
It does fun. But what I love is one of their little notes. It says, P.S., performed in Spanish, sometimes in Spanglish, with English supertitles. Well, except during the improv parts, because, well, if you know, you know. All right, I thought that was cute. Anyway, you can get more information about that at vortexrep.org, and that's good. And we did have a discussion previously with who are they? Austin Playhouse, about the Biden pains. And I will say, we do have our next guest in the room right now. Just say hello, everybody.
Oh, hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
So I am sure there's some Biden pain nominees right here in this room. So congratulations to you all.
Yes.
The nominations came out last night. The award ceremony is October
23rd.
And that's something that's really fun for even people that aren't part of the community to come out and see how silly we all get, because we do get kind of silly. There's lots of funny drinks rolling around during the Biden pain.
You do see people get their game on that don't always go and get their game on.
Yeah, I've been guilty of that. I do have to say I was very depressed because I thought I couldn't go because we rehearse up in Georgetown every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And
but they gave you the night off?
And that's our tech week. And I went, there is just no way. And I went and checked the schedule. We are dark on that Monday.
Yeah, they see.
So I was very happy I got
to
go.
They were thinking ahead.
It's sort of the fun thing about working with a college. They have these wacky rules where we don't allow our students to work on whatever that day was.
And that's the day.
And that was the day. So that's good. So other things playing in and around Austin, Texas. You have your last chance to see Pipeline at the Alchemy Theater at the Master George. It closes on the 30th. At Zach Theater, along with the people we're going to be speaking to, is Hershey Felder, is George Gershwin Alone, plays through October 1st. I cannot tell you how many good things I've heard about this.
Yeah, it's not what you think it is, and it's kind of fantastical, amazing, and then, like, you add Gershwin. Hello, yeah. Good time.
Everybody is saying really wonderful things about this. I know some people that are going multiple times, and they don't get any wacky discounts. So,
yeah,
mazel
and
tov
this is
for them.
The first time Hershey Felder has ever brought this here around.
I don't know him, but I do like his chocolate.
There you go.
Yeah, it's true. Mary Moody Northern Amphitheater. Mary Moody Northern Theater. There is a Mary Moody Northern, or there was a Mary Moody Northern
amphitheater in the day
in Galveston, Texas, yep, where I performed in 1977.
Well, yep. This is actually Mary Moody Northern.
There's that's no the same one. I always it's Northern.
Yeah.
You need to speak into the microphone in order to be heard.
Okay,
do it.
You want me to say
it? Yeah, say
Mary
it.
Mary Moody Northern.
Yeah, it's Mary Moody Northern. I oftentimes mispronounce it.
She likes to add the
as
R,
does many other.
Weird.
Are you from St. Ed's?
I did go to St. Ed's.
Yeah, of course. You were. I could see your hackles jumping up there. That's Helen Rain Messenger for those of you who want to get angry and write letters. Her email address is helen@ So over there at that theater, Mary Moody Northern Theater. Northern. I said it again, didn't I?
You
can't
did.
Help it. Well, that's, I was going to go to another story, but it, Antigonic, which is Antigone, playing through the 2nd of October. We have our last chance to see Raven Winged Hours, Archive Theater's production. It closes on October 1st. I'm so excited that next week, Broadway Across America 6, which I will be in the audience on Tuesday night. I am looking so forward to seeing that. You should be as well. We just talked to Austin Playhouse and their show, The Norwegians. Closes on October 15th. City Theaters, No Exit, never closes because you can't exit.
Dun, dun,
anybody?
Dun.
No, okay.
I got it.
It does close October 1st. And then coming up at Ground Floor Theater, Austin Rainbow Theater's production of Sordid Lives, which looks like just a rollicky, rompous good time, plays October 6th through the 14th. And of course, our next guest, also at the Zach, is The Girl Who Became Legend, which also plays through October 1st. That's a lot of stuff
it
going on
lot.
Right now.
I should mention there's some Austin connections in 6. I can't wait for you to learn about that when you go to see it.
Okay, so are we going to just wait until I go, or you want to just say
week.
It right now? Oh, we'll talk about it next. We'll talk about it next week.
That's right.
You know,
stay
you have to reason. You have to reason to have to come back.
There you go. See?
Have to have a reason to come back.
Dun dun dun! The suspense is overwhelming.
Okay, today in theater history.
Bum 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 bum! Stuff happened. Tell us.
This is what I love about today in theater history. This I get this from the Playbill Vault. I don't know why they call this history because it's actually in the future.
Oh.
Pearly Victorious opens tonight.
Oh yeah.
Looking so forward.
Yeah, I'm a little excited
looking really,
about
really
that
good.
Uh-huh.
That's of course with Leslie Odom
Leslie
Jr.
Odom Jr.
And Pearly Victorious is we talked about it last week. This is a revival.
Correct.
Oh my God, I just lost his name. Who wrote it? Anybody?
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
Somebody very, very famous.
Yes.
I just lost it. Anyway,
Leslie Odom Jr.
is in it. It'll come to me at some point. So that is opening. In 2015, we had the opening of Spring Awakening. In 1974, Scapino opened.
I don't know
at the Circle in the Square Theater. I don't know it either. Enemy of the People opened in 2012. The Nap opened at Manhattan Theater Club. I had to look this up because I didn't know what it was. It opened in 2018. I don't remember. We were on the air at that time.
Yeah, what was it?
And now I can't. I looked it up. I looked about what it was about, and now I have forgotten. And then Dinner at 8 opened in 1966.
Yeah.
Our birthdays are Arthur Penn, Vincent Yeomans, who, of course, Amber, you know, born in 1898.
I was just about to.
You were very young back then.
That's right, very young. Three.
Meatloaf.
I did know it was the meatloaf's
love
birthday.
Love me some meatloaf. It was 1947.
My dad loves the meatloaf, yeah.
And birthday. Aww. And one of my faves, Anna Camp.
Aww.
Who I just love almost everything she does. So that's it for today in theater history. We will go out, take a little break with Spring Awakening, that beautiful, beautiful song.
Good
song
choice.
Of Poiple Summer.
Good and choice.
Poiple, because that's how they said it in Germany. So we will be right back.
And all shall fade.
And we are back. You're listening to Lisa and Nicole on Offstage and on the Air. We're having a rompous good time.
You know why? Because we're Shiro and Sheps, and Sheps and Shiro.
Both of us, all four of us.
That's right.
Here.
We like to have a good time.
I'm hoping that some, if not all of you, were here earlier listening to the International Folk Bazaar because I was the guest host on that.
You were.
I played lots of crazy
dishing out some international theatrical music.
Le Balcon from Romeo and Juliet.
En français.
las pequeñas cosas que haces juntos.
Oh, en español.
The little things we do together.
Yeah.
Come on, folks. And then, of course, Jesus Christ.
Superstar.
But that was in English, but it was not really in English. It was in Australian. There's a difference.
There's a difference in that.
So now we got the folks here from Zach Theater and The Girl Who Became Legend, or as I have it on my script.
They do have to say, Jesus Christ, Superstar.
All right. We're just going to jump back to that.
You know what? They're a bunch of vivacious readers.
All right. Good.
I ain't trying that.
So we have Zach Theater and The Girl Who Became Legend, or as I have it written here, The Girl Who Became Legend with a T. And we have, I'm going to introduce everybody in no particular order because I don't know what anybody does in this show. We have Helen Rain Messenger. Hi, welcome back, Helen.
Hi, thanks.
It's been a while since
it.
You've been on the show.
Yeah, it's been a minute. I think about a year.
Minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least a minute.
And we have, have you been on the show before?
I have.
I thought you had.
Blakey
Mousefet.
Hi.
Who is here. And then we have Paul Sanchez.
Hi, how's it
hello,
going?
Hello, Paul.
Hello,
and
hello.
Amber Quick.
Hi, everybody.
And Nathan Ford.
Hi.
And the last time I saw Amber Quick and Paul Sanchez together, y'all were performing at the Zach Theater.
Oh,
that's right.
Back at it again.
Yeah. So who wants to tell me about this show? What is it? Somebody. I don't care who.
Okay. I'll do it. Fine, I'll do it.
That's Amber Quick, everybody. Yes. She's quick.
That's right. Oh, time me. The Girl Who Became Legend was conceived by Sarah Saltwick and Nat Miller. And it's a story about a young woman, a heroine's journey of a young woman who lives in this very oppressive, very drought-laden town. And She sees a rain cloud for the first time her entire life.
You gotta just take those.
You got to.
You gotta take them.
Yeah. And so, and no one believes her. And so she sets out on this journey. And while she's there, she encounters all sorts of folk heroes that she's read about in her youth and some new heroes and brings the rain back to dustbin. And
that makes no sense. Who can imagine a time with a long period of no rain?
Well, not only is rain just not frequent in the town of Dustbin, it's also technically illegal.
Oh my gosh. Who can imagine a town that has a government that is obtrusive and bad?
And get this. The books are banned.
Yep. The books are banned. Mm-hmm. The libraries are closed. Yep. And the evil mayor keeps all
I've
the water for
I've never heard of such a thing.
This is just too much for me. I cannot suspend my disbelief. Well, that's amazing. I'm guessing that there is a musical component to this show.
Yes. So myself, Paul, and Helen, the three of us were fortunate enough to get to collaborate together on writing the music for this wonderful, sweet story that Sarah's written for us.
And this has been a relatively long journey, has it not? This started several years ago.
Yes. So, yes, several years ago, that was sort of the conception was Nat was like, what happens if we put a bunch of actor musicians in a room together? And
oh my
so then
gosh.
We, I know, right, with a
very
playwright.
Coarse line of him, you know.
Yes. And so then out of that experience, this script was born. And so then it sort of, the pandemic happened, it got shelved briefly. And then Sarah decided to dust it off, if you know what I mean.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. And then that was when she brought Helen on, and you know, we definitely answered the question that yes, this script does want and need music. Yeah. And so then for about a year now, we've been in this music development process. Thank you to the Kennedy Center for their commission that made that development process.
Yeah, so this is going
possible.
To Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, where
That's
nothing
right.
evil happens.
Never, ever.
There's lots of rain clouds there.
That's right.
That's all there is.
You are on fuego today, my friend.
Oh, you know what I forgot to say?
What?
I forgot to say the views expressed here on Offstage and on the Air, not necessarily those of Co-op, its board of directors, staff, or anybody else.
Just ours.
Or the underwriters. Just us.
Just
we can say whatever we want. Sorry.
On this show.
We don't have an opinion. well, that sounds amazing. And Blakeney, you are the star of the show, are you not? You're the thief of the cloud.
I would say I play a pretty big part in it, but it is a very ensemble-driven show.
How very nice of you to say.
She is the girl who became legend.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah, you won't be this generous as you get as you advance in this career. Yes, I did the whole show. And everybody else around me is just pawns. Well, that's amazing. But you have performed on the Zach stage many times.
Yes, I have. I've done quite a few. I've just grown up at Zach, so it's been really fun to be on this journey because I've never really been a part of such an amazing cast before, such a small cast too, and we're all very close, and it's just a great experience.
And that's great. Am I looking at the entire cast?
No, we're missing Jeremy Rashad Brown.
Yes. Jeremy! Why isn't
Jeremy.
He doesn't
we
like
miss
me.
You. Miss
he
you.
Actually emailed me and was like, that Lisa.
He,
not doing it.
He doesn't,
very busy.
He doesn't like me. There was ever since the incident.
And there is
Lila
another.
Lila Gonzalez is in the show.
Lila Gonzalez is.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Well, so
double cast.
Mm-hmm. Well, awesome. So
Lila couldn't make it today.
Does everybody have a character? Or I mean, I'm looking at the people holding instruments. Are y'all just playing music, or are you characters as well?
No, we play instruments. We play different characters. I play, I think, like 6 different characters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think, and we're changing costumes on stage.
Oh, that's risque.
There's like very we don't go backstage a lot. We're pretty much on.
That's the ensemble nature that Blakeney was referring to, is that like once the show starts, that train has left the station and it just moves. Mm-hmm.
And this is made for a family audience.
That's right. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, first grade and up is sort of the suggested, but we've had littles come and have a great time.
Yes. All the adults have said so many wonderful things, even some of the reviews about like, yeah, this was a story that we could all listen to take from it. Good. It's like not just you have to take a kid kind of thing.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. Is there a puppet cloud?
There is. Lisa loves a good puppet.
I've become really very fond of it.
She's become very fond of it. Lisa just lit up as you said it lights up.
There's also some shadow puppet moments because I play Paul Bunyan, the giant.
Typecasting, I know.
And there's a moment where I need to lift Raina, Blakeney's character, up into the sky to try to get her cloud. And so there's a little shadow puppet moment of her being lifted up by a giant.
I went to see a high school production of Wizard of Oz last year, and that's how they handled all the cyclone and all that. It was all done shadow puppets.
That's actually really cute and really smart.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, y'all are going to do a little musical number for this. Do you need to set it up at all?
Sure. This is the closing number.
Oh.
We're not going to do the whole thing, but this is, you know, the transformation of the town of Dustbin from being this sort of fascist, horrible, oppressive town to now the people of Dustbin are able to look up into the sky and look at each other and, you know, there might be some possibility of plants or flowers growing. You know, it's not just dust.
Their lawns aren't crinkly and it hurts to walk on them barefoot.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. I can relate to that.
This is the first moment that the town of Dustbin is coming together in like any relative sense of joy.
Well, wonderful. This is the cast of Zach Theater's The Girl Who Became Legend performing a musical piece.
Yeah.
Takes more than a rain cloud to grow a field of flowers.
Ooh, yes.
It takes teamwork, it takes time.
Something's changing, something's
now
changing.
People are laughing, and the children play for hours. Each joke has its own rhyme.
Something is growing, something's growing.
Gather round, cause we are proud of the stories we empower. Imagination's not a crime.
Up. Welcome to Dustbin. We want to know what we can grow. See what we can see. Just look at each other. Just look at each other.
Oh, I don't want it to stop. That is so lovely. We are, I just looked at the clock. We're plumb out of time. Where can folks go to get information about this? And when is the last opportunity that folks can see it?
We have one more weekend of public shows closing October 1st. If you would like more information, you can go to zacktheater.org.
Thank you.
/ legend goes right to your page.
/ legend.
And both of the shows, Saturday and Sunday, are at 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock, Dulcimedia, so that you could feasibly go see two shows.
You could.
Well, great. Well, thank you all so much for being
on the
show.
Thank you. Awesome.
So good to see you all.
That was Helen Rain Messenger, Paul Sanchez, Blakeney Malstedt, Amber Quick, and Nathan Ford of Zach Theater's The Girl Who Became Legend. Play now through October 1st. For more information, zachtheater.org/legend. And this is a song called The Legend from Goosebumps the Musical, Phantom of the Auditorium. We'll be right back.
The legend begins at this very school 4 score minus 7 years ago. Legend has it that there once was a boy who found a script in the basement below. The play was called The Phantom. It was the scariest of shows. Is that how it started? No one knows. But that's how the legend goes.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
We are here. We are here.
We did it. We did another show.
This was a fun show today.
It was a fun show, and we have just enough time to say goodbye.
So long.
Farewell. Wiedersehen. Goodbye. I tell you what, I was going to look up. I don't know who's actually following us today because I forgot to look it up on the internet, and I had planned to look it up during that song, but I was too enrapt listening.
I love a fiddle, by the way. So, but I was loving it beforehand, and then you just added a little bit of the fiddle, and they all started jamming, and it was very infectious joy in this room. The energy was fun.
I was just loving watching Blakeney. She was having so much fun.
I know.
So that certainly sounds like something we want to see. So thank you, Nicole.
Thank you, Lisa.
I hope I see you next week. That will
you
be
will.
Good. You're going to tell us what our 6. Austin connections are. I can't wait to hear about that.
The initials AM.
That's not going to help me. So stand by for the Austin Cooperative Hour. I don't know what show is on. I think it's Racism on the Levels, but I could be wrong. Don't hate me if I'm wrong. We're going to be back next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. This is a new listing. They said that New York had been released, but I couldn't find the release.
No, I can't either.
This is a show called The Big Time, and this is called A Guy Without a Girl. We'll see you next week.
Where is the sun that used to shine when she said, I'm yours, when he said, you're mine?